Members, board members, would you like to pull any of the other items for the discussion under general orders? Okay, if there is no objection, the consent agenda items 15.1 through 15.13 will be adopted. All right, the motion carries. All right, now moving on to unfinished business. There's no unfinished business. Now moving to 17.0 to recognize the items that we pulled from the consent agenda. If there is no objection, I would like to actually, what was that? So we're going to be recording at the same time, and we consulted with legal counsel, and they said it's okay to proceed as long as we record and it can be posted afterwards due to the technological difficulty. So we're in good standings according to our legal teams, both from the administrative side and also from the Board of Education side. We're just one PGCPS. And so with that being said, without objection, just because of the technological difficulties, I was hoping that we can move item 15.17 to the top, just so we can make sure we get it done before any other technological difficulties happen. Is there any objection? Yeah, that's the interim contract. So you want to make the motion? Go for it. I'm ready.
Mr. Chair, on item 15.17, the interim superintendent's contract, I move at this time for approval of the interim superintendent's contract for Dr. Sean Joseph.
Be moved to the front. We're still going to present it. We're just moving it to the front.
Yeah.
Okay. Move to the front. Is there any objection? No. Okay. We'll move 15.17 to the first item on the general orders list. So the chair recognizes Dr. Coleman to present. I'm sorry, Mr. Horn. Excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just want to point out that I understand from the board members that they've received some comments about the process that took place with the interim superintendent. I wanted to point out that this situation is set forth in the Maryland Education Annotated Code Section 4-201.1, which discusses the process that takes place when you have a vacancy in the superintendent's position. And in that particular case, as we've had here, we had the county executive make a recommendation and the board to vote on the superintendent in the interim position as set forth by the statute. The statute says, the appointment must be confirmed by the state superintendent, and the appointment, the interim, contemplates the appointment through July 1st, and then from July 1st through June 30th of 2026. There was a contract that was proposed, and the board has the ability to vote on that, to support or not support the contract.
Thank you so much, Arthur Horn. And so what I did want to add is a bit of context around, the way we were moving so fast. So between the separation of the previous superintendent and the end of the school year, I think it was like about roughly eight days or so. And so we didn't have a superintendent in place, an interim superintendent in place. So Dr. Coleman, as the chief operating officer, the highest ranking official or cabinet member in PGCPS, has led the charge on day-to-day operations. So there was no interim superintendent in place. So tonight, what we had to do is get a contract in place that can essentially bridge the gap between now, today, and the 30th, because of the fiscal we need signatures for different financial documents and different documentation that need authority from the superintendent. So we need a superintendent in place from today until the 30th that can sign all of the documentation, needing that signature. And then we also need a contract, which the same contract was the addendum. So we need the primary contract to be able to take care of from July 1st until June 30th for 2026. So I just wanted to make that clear. And then I also wanted to allow Dr. Coleman to speak as well.
Yeah, thank you, Board Chair Jackson. And just to that point around that period, while we do not have an interim superintendent, there is a significant and growing operational impact to our school district during this intermediate period. This absence impedes our staff from exercising the fiscal authority needed to move critical work forward. As a few examples, this impact extends to our ability to execute purchase requisitions and contracts to support critically important capital improvement projects and transportation improvements that we just spoke of. This impact also extends to approvals needed for the school system budget and finances, just for a few examples.
Thank you so much, Dr. Coleman. Board members, do we have any questions? All righty. Dr. Moss?
Yeah, I do want to clarify for the public what we're voting on here. And you can correct me, Mr. Chair, but what we are voting on now is the contract. The board has already voted to appoint the superintendent as the interim superintendent in the four-day phase between now and the 31st, and the board has already voted to appoint the superintendent for a year. This scope and this vote for the rest of tonight is relative to the interim superintendent's contract. Is that correct? I just want to make sure the public is clear about it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Number 10. Board Member Boozer Struthers.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chair. I'm going to speak to why I'll be abstaining from this vote for the interim superintendent contract for the next year. My vote will not be a yes or no, because this is not solely about the person named in the contract. The voters elected this board to make important policy and budget decisions for the school system and provide oversight of the superintendent. And in this moment, many stakeholders are now learning that the state lawmakers did not return this traditional role of the hiring of a superintendent or interim superintendent to the selected board when the appointed elected hybrid structure was ended on July 1st, 2024, essentially keeping the political power dysfunction intact. And many of our stakeholders are left worried that these politics will continue to impact their children and PGCPS. Once the board passes a motion for the hiring of an interim superintendent for a full year, only we, the board, are held accountable. There has not been an inclusive vetting process for this candidate since the county executive introduced him to the public. The board has not met officially to discuss important questions such as our philosophy of the role of an interim during this next school year. The board did not consider choices for the interim because this decision was made before we could even get started. And this decision was made for the students, staff, and parents who were denied input. And I wanted to say that the selected board had an opportunity to stand for good governance and not pass this motion tonight, but I would be asking my colleagues to also not look at the good governance decisions put upon us in the short timeline that Dr. Coleman has noted about operations and contracts. So the people of the county expect democratic practices from their elected school board members, and that is the vote. That is why I'm voting this way this evening, because this has not been democratic. So thank you.
Thank you, Board Member Boozer Struthers. I do want to make mention that we did do a background investigation and a financial analysis on Dr. Sean Joseph, which our legal team has the documentation, and everything came back clear. So we did do our due diligence as far as his integrity and standing with financial and his background history. So next, I do want to recognize Board Member Brown.
Thank you so much, Chair Jackson. I too, along with my colleague, Board Member Pamela Boozer-Struthers, will be abstaining from this vote. I do think that Dr. Sean Joseph is a wonderful candidate. I think he's actually a wonderful person. However, the decision was made when the county executive was in the elect position, and protocol was not followed. I am huge when it comes to protocol and policy, and so that was a concern for me. The other concern for me as well is that I just received his contract today, and so I have not been able to have a thorough reading of what exactly he is asking for, though it may be similar to the previous superintendent. Because I am a new person of the board, I need to be able to read and speak to my constituents on that. And so I am not confident to vote, and so I will be abstaining. Thank you.
Board Member Walker.
I will not be abstaining tonight. I will be voting. I think it's imperative, and I know the District 9 expects me to vote a yes or a no. We did just get the contract today. I have had the opportunity to go through the contract. What I will say is that our legal counsel has had the opportunity to present his findings of the key critical areas of the contract, key critical criteria of the contract, and what those things mean. And what I will note is that we are in a situation as a board, let me just talk about me for District 9 specifically. I'm in a situation as a board member where I know from our chief operating officer that we are at a standstill for a number of contracts, and that does not behoove our children or our scholars. When I take a look at my vote on this board, it is really because our scholars are at the forefront, not politics. And I think that we can fight the politics on the back end, but what we do need is somebody inside of the seat, somebody inside of the seat now, and the process to begin for a full-time and a full-term superintendent. And so as I vote tonight, it'll be because I see the future for our children. I think accountability needs to be had inside of this seat, but there's a lot that is on the table for us, for contracts that's not being signed, for things that's not being moved, and that needs to happen now. Now, how we hold him accountable inside of that role, I think, is up to each and every one of us. The year contract, there were a number of questions that were asked by board members, and I thank each of the board members for having this amazing conversation. But what I will say is that it is imperative, in my estimation, that we continue to move forward for our scholars, the betterment of that, hold somebody accountable inside of the role, and keep on moving for our scholars. That's so important. Meanwhile, we need to ensure that we are following our processes and where we're not to check ourselves, because that means that our processes need to be governed accordingly.
Did I miss any other board members for the first round? Because I have a second round. Okay, Dr. Moss.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. As I preface my previous question to move to the vote, I strongly stand in support of the opportunity to name Dr. Sean Joseph interim superintendent. As someone who has been a teacher and a school principal, when I look at the work this gentleman has done to move math and reading scores, I think that's what we need at this time in our school district. One other nuance I want to talk about of what we face in terms of the law, Maryland state law does not allow you to negotiate a superintendent's contract subsequent to July 1. And so there is a weave here that we have to do. And the second thing I want to line out, there are two code sections in the law. One speaks to what happens when you are preparing to hire a superintendent for 4 years. One speaks to when you are filling an interim vacancy. Those processes are not similar. When you are hiring a superintendent for 4 years, you are expected by the law to go through a full process where you have a committee of three individuals. I believe the county exec has laid out she intends to follow that process. And should she not, it's up to the people to hold her accountable to follow the law. But in this process, the relevant code section says that what the county executive is expected to do is appoint an interim. And that is what we're doing today. We're voting on a one-year contract. And so with the balance of my time, I call a previous question and ask that we move to the vote on this item.
Ms. Barton, please call the roll.
Abstain.
Mr. Briggs?
Aye.
Mrs. Brown?
Abstain.
Ms. Goins-McCants?
Aye.
Dr. Moss?
Aye.
Ms. Olivo?
Aye.
Ms. Walker?
Aye.
Mr. Jackson?
Aye.
We have 6 in the affirmative and 2 abstentions.
Motion carries. Moving on to item 14.14. The chairman recognizes Dr. Coleman to present the consent agenda item 14.14 for approval. No, this is the renewal recommendation for the following public charter schools at College Park Academy.
Dr. E. Coleman.
Did we separate them out, or we wanted to put them all, lump them all together?
I thought we'd separated them, but certainly, Board Chair, we can just move forward.
Because I have them here as separated as 15.14, then I have 15.15, and then 15.16.
Yeah. So, Board Chair, items 15.1 through 15.17 require board approval. Items 15.9, 15.14, 15.15, 15.16, and 15.17 have been pulled for separate discussion. So we move to approve these items. 15.1, school-based health centers. Thank you.
No. Point of order. Point of clarity. So we approved the 15.1 through 15.13. So now we're, minus 9. So now we're talking about 15.14, the renewal recommendation of the following public charter school for College Park Academy. We're talking about the renewal recommendation for CMIT, Northeast MS and High School, and then we are doing the renewal of Legends Public Charter. So we pulled them all as separate items.
Thank you. I've moved to approve items 15.14. Renewal recommendations for the following public charter schools, College Park Academy, 15.15. Renewal recommendations for the following public charter schools, CMIT North, CMIT Middle School, and CMIT North High School. 15.16, renewal recommendations for the following public charter schools, Legends Public Charter School.
Right, thank you. Board members, is there any discussion? So how is there no discussion and y'all pulled them from general orders? All right, without objection, you do have a... Yeah, those are the charter schools.
Thank you so much. Sorry about that.
Board Member Walker.
Yes, I did pull the charter schools because I was hoping that our charter school... There you guys are. Thank you. I was hoping that you could just share 2.5 minutes on, or the remainder of my time, on the next steps you all are doing for improvements inside of the charter school area. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Board Member Walker. One of the things we are looking to have happen in support of renewals next upcoming school year is to start earlier so that we have a longer runway in support of the renewal process. So whereas this, we're looking to begin in as early as September of 2025 school year.
Thank you. There was just a number of questions that I know that I've come through with from charter schools, even some that are going to be renewed tonight for discussion. And I just think it's important for you to be able to have time to talk about some of the wins that you're going to, or improvements you're going to make. You named about 3 of them for us, so maybe you can just talk to those 2 as the additional 2 as an overview. Not to put you on the spot or anything.
No problem. Thank you. Yes, So one of the things that I highlighted here is developing a renewal framework. So we are looking to launch a multi-year process that allows us to work in a collaborative fashion across all stakeholder groups in support of the renewal process. The second thing we're looking to have happen is embracing an opportunity for learning. So we're looking to partner with the National Learning and Professional Development Organization on behalf of improvements across our district and our charter school office. A third thing we're looking to do, we think that we have started this work in reference to communicating and collaborating across not just the charter school office with our operators, but across our district. We're looking to build on the cadence with operators, school leaders, and internal teams. One of the other things we're looking to have happen is to strengthen our cross-district partnerships. And lastly, which is very important, we're looking to realign a renewal and new charter school application timelines.
Thank you. Are there any more questions? Dr. Moss?
Just call a previous question on this item.
We're gonna take the vote. The question is, should the Prince George's County Board of Education adopt the agenda items 15.14 through 15.16? Ms. Barton, please take the roll. Take the vote.
Ms. Boozer-Struther?
Aye.
Mr. Briggs?
Aye.
Mrs. Brown?
Aye.
Ms. Goins-McCants?
Aye.
Mr. Jongo?
Aye.
Dr. Moss?
Aye.
Ms. Olivo?
Aye.
Ms. Walker?
Aye.
Mr. Jackson?
Aye.
We have 9 in the affirmative.
All right, 15.9, the adoption of the FY 2026 Board of Education approved operating budget. Okay, Board Member Zakiya Goins-McCants.
Thank you so much, Chair Jackson. And there was a very, very long road to get here tonight, and I know there's been a lot of back and forth, a lot of stress. I want to make sure that I am extending a heartfelt thank you to you, Chief Howell, for all of the things. I know we haven't always seen eye to eye. I know we've had some very tense board meetings, but thank you so much for all of the hard work that you and your team have put into making sure that we had this here tonight, all of the overtime that you all put in, fully understanding all of the issues that you all had in terms of our infrastructure. So I want to make sure publicly that we as a board are thanking you for all of that hard work, all of the extra hours. Given that, Chair, I would like to move that we approve our fiscal year 26 budget.
Thank you. With no objection. So I think we got a couple of lights on. We can't do no objection. So if there's any discussion, let's have it now. So Board Member Boozer-Struthers.
Thank you so much. I always think of this moment of the passage of the budget as absolutely defining of who we are, what our values are, and presenting that to the public after this process. I definitely want to give a shout out to our colleague Goins-McCants for chairing this process, your first year on the board, not even a full year, to lead us as you did. Grateful for the time that you put in it, because it was extremely difficult this year as we all went to Annapolis to essentially fend off massive cuts in SB 529 that were a broken promise by our state legislature, and then through our collective efforts in around the state, we stopped the worst of that bill, but we haven't stopped it for the next couple years, and that work continues. Chief Howell, you, of course, had to weather that same difficulty, and through this process, we've seen and heard you very clearly that these aging infrastructure resources to manage a budget that's basically grown over about $1 billion since I've been on this board, that we didn't keep pace. And so our commitment to you to solve those issues. But you know, again, our work is not done. The legislative session must be able to cover increases in our budget. Those final increases will be known later when there is a contract with PGCEA, and we have to show up together to ensure that our teachers get what they deserve. Thank you.
Board Member Brown.
Yes, thank you so much, Chair Jackson. I had a question. Do we not receive any federal funding? I just want clarity on that.
Yes, we do receive federal funding. We have quite a few entitlement grants. Obviously, our budget is going through changes as we move into fiscal year 26, so our funding levels are going down on a federal basis, and then, of course, we have the runoff or the expiring of our COVID relief grants, but we do have federal funding.
So the federal funding, if I'm reading this chart right, it went down over $4 million?
That's one component. We had quite a few decreases in federal funding in excess of $4 million.
And what type of federal funding did we actually receive? Whether it's grants, whether it's, you know,
we receive very little unrestricted federal funding. The majority of our federal funding is tied to restricted funds to our grants. So all of our entitlement grants, Title I through Title IV, we have our special education grants, which are and much of the federal funding that we do receive is passed through to the state down to us. But we do receive a substantial amount of federal funding.
Okay, excellent. And then for, hypothetically speaking, in the event our restricted funds are not being able to cover things like special education, the blueprint, are we going to be liberal in using our unrestricted funds to cover that?
Well, we do have a substantial amount of our unrestricted budget that also covers special education as well. So the grant funding that we do have is very specific to our specific needs and specific allowable activities and costs, and so that is what is typically covered on those grants. But a substantial portion of our unrestricted budget also covers various activities and resources and operations of the district as well.
And have we received a reconciled budget yet?
We have received the approved budget from the county, which was transmitted back to us at the beginning of June, and we have then reconciled the budget that's before you today with the budget that was submitted by the county, and that's what you see in the reconciliation section of the board action summary that sort of outlines where we were in the requested budget and where we are now in the approved budget.
Okay, thank you so
Hopefully
much.
Soon approved budget.
Thank you. Board Member Walker.
Thank you so much. Board members, I still remain concerned at the board positions that was moved with amendments, particularly because it is a very difficult time fiscally of what we're hearing right now. And I just think that we should really challenge ourselves to look at where we're spending our money inside of this budget. Also, we see that blueprint dollars have gone down, if I'm reading this correctly, $3.6 million reduction in the local share of blueprint funding for foundation. We can go on and on. I know that we have a number of things that we're looking at. The council has already sent it to us, but what might be value added, and thank you for giving us this summary, really is to see the breakdown of where some of our costs are, whether it's the board office or other areas where we can also assist. And I say this only because I haven't seen a total reconciled budget as of yet. I do see this, which I can make some determinations on tonight, and I will, but I just want to encourage board members to really think about the money that we're spending, especially when we know that we also are hearing from our teachers and contracts and where other money can be filtered throughout our little budget that we do have. Thank you.
Is that number eight? Is that you, Amy, or Robin? Okay. So round two, I guess, is Dr. Moss.
This is round one still.
Okay.
I won't have a round two, though. So I do want to, we've acknowledged Chief Howell, and I've gotten on her nerves about this, asking all my questions. But I believe if Ms. Howell had a moment to talk, she would also recognize Siobhan, who is her sidekick in all of this. And so I want to make sure we honor and recognize you for your work. These folks, I sent an email on Friday, and they somehow responded on Saturday, and we're at a meeting on Monday to help parents in District 7 understand and process the budget. And stayed up late hours. I literally asked Ms. Howell, are you not ready to go to sleep now? When I walked over a few minutes ago. So we have really good folks who are doing hard work to make sure our budget is there. But I'd also be remiss if I didn't talk about the fact that this budget was built under some updated revenue assumptions that went in the opposite direction. We expected the county reduced $6.5 million in our contribution for three major entities in PGCPS, and the county said they were not going to fund that, which means we have to take those dollars from other places to do this work, one being the Office of Integrity and Compliance, the Office of Sustainability and Resilience, and the maintenance share of our retention fund. So, I mean, we did lose money, and so we did have to tighten our belts. We lost $3.6 million in local share for blueprint funding as it relates to the foundation. As one of my colleagues shared with you, we were in Annapolis. I'd also be a bad board member if I didn't tell you that if you just read the local newspaper, we're seeing huge revenue declines in the state, and the state is having to make hard choices. And so we will need to be on the front lines come next year to defend our state revenue. And so while we're excited tonight that we're putting forth a $3 million budget, and we didn't have to lay people off and do any of that work because these folks did the hard work of finding cuts inside of the district, if we're not advocates for funding and to protect and defend the blueprint, then we may be in a different place next year. And so I would encourage you, we have elections coming up, hold folks accountable for supporting our school system, our public school system. And then finally, I must do this. I've made a commitment to do it to the former chair of this board. No matter what anybody tells you, Prince George's County doesn't get 62% of the county's budget. We in fact get 51%. And if you do the math a little bit more, we actually get 48%. Because it goes to the community college and other education initiatives. So we do not get 62% of the county's budget, but we are happy for the 48% that we get. Thank you again, and I'm excited about this budget, and my colleagues, I hope, will pass it unanimously.
All right. Ms. Barton, please call the vote.
Ms. Boozer-Struther.
Aye.
Mr. Briggs?
Aye.
Mrs. Brown?
Aye.
Ms. Goins-McCants?
Aye.
Mr. Jongo?
Aye.
Dr. Moss?
Aye.
Ms. Olivo?
Aye.
Ms. Walker?
Aye.
Mr. Jackson?
Aye.
You have 9 ayes.
Motion carries. All right, moving on to new business. The chair recognizes board member Jongo.
Okay. I do want to acknowledge the time. It is 10:15 p.m. and I'm gonna make this quick because I do kind of have like a couple. Of course, I want to, acknowledge again that, the class of 2025 is the biggest graduating class in the U.S. with 3.9 million graduates. So I just want to first say that, you know, we also had a really great alma mater graduates here in Patronage County. One thing that I did get a lot of concerns about was the commencement tickets for our students. You know, there was about, we get six this year, so, I was trying to say we might get six, but actually, you know, since I graduated, we did get six. And I do want to, you know, make sure that our students have everybody at the table with them that, you know, to help them in their careers as students. So with that being said, I move that the Board of Education or PGCPS increase the number of tickets provided to each student for PGCPS commencement ceremonies from 6 to 10.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that motion. I'm sorry, does that conclude your comment?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that motion. Because it wasn't on the agenda, I can't add it to the new business section. But what I will do is note it for the next upcoming agenda, and we will definitely get it done. And we will let everybody know that was because of our smile. Jamal John, go. Okay, we're going to put it up there. Yeah.
If that's the case, am I able to say the
go ahead. Say all of them.
I'm just going to say all of them right now.
Put it on the record.
So I also move that the Board of Education amend Board Policy 9271, which is the student member of the board, to include language granting the student member of the board the opportunity to deliver remarks at the Prince George's County Public Schools system-wide commencement ceremonies. Our student member board works really hard, not just me, but the people who pass and the ones in the future. So I do want to give them the chance to be able to express their remarks to their graduating class. Okay. Next one. This is a little bit more, I guess you could say, I want to be able to see the most, I want our students to leave this county with the most amount of knowledge and opportunities that they could get while they're here. So with that being said, I move that the Board of Education or the superintendent's office to conduct a comprehensive review of the current grading system to explore potential improvements and adjustments. You know, I don't want our students just to graduate. Of course, I want them to graduate, but I want them to, you know, leave here with, you know, just learning with the most amount of experience that they can get, because we do learn a lot here, and it's a lot that I will be taking with me to college. So I know that I want our students to really truly be able to, you know, get that most experience out of that. And then the last thing is that it's about our internet filtration system. You know, of course, as a student, I get to see both sides of Content Keeper as a staff and a student. Of course, you know, there's a difference, and there's supposed to be a difference. But I definitely have heard a lot of concerns about a lot of really great educational sites be blocked. And, you know, I don't want to say it's a long process to get them unblocked, but it's definitely something that, you know, I think that as a county or as a Board of Education, we can be able to, you know, kind of push a better filtration system into it, so that we're able to, you know, not put too much stress on the IT department, giving them a lot of, you know, requests to unblock sites, to, you know, go through sites again. So again, I move that the Board of Education start looking for a more modern and effective internet filtration system for PGCPS with appropriate safeguards to support both students and instructional access. And that's it for my new business.
All right. I do want to recognize Board Member Walker.
Thank you so much. And this will be short for the folks that are still here. Because I was unable to make the last executive board meeting just during the scheduling, I did want to recognize and thank Mr. House. I don't even know if he's watching tonight, but really just thank him for his tireless work as superintendent of PGCPS. We've had wins, collaborations, impact, and openness, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to publicly say thank you, if you're watching, for the work that you did do for Prince George's County Public Schools, and your imprint will continue to be here in Prince George's County. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Board Member Walker. We want to thank you all for joining us tonight for tonight's meeting. To our online viewers, if you can see us still, I don't know. Thank you for watching. On behalf of the board, have a great summer. There being no further business, the time is now 10:20. And the June 26th, well, we've been getting out at 9 o'clock for most of the year. So, I mean, we were long overdue for the last meeting. So,
excuse me, Chairman.
June 20, excuse me.
I'm sorry. Did Mr. Junko have a motion on the floor?
No. Yeah, well, but it couldn't. Yes, yeah, so we're going to put it on the agenda for next time because it wasn't new business.
Thank you.
Okay. And June 26, 2025, Prince George's County Board of Education meeting is adjourned. Thank you.